Surprisingly, there are not that many, very few hymns in our book that speak of the Son of God. It's disappointing that there are many in the Gadsby hymnal. If you don't have a copy of that, you need to get one. It's just outstanding. Every hymn in it, you can just turn to any page, put your finger down. It's fabulous, wonderful, God-honoring, Christ-exalting hymn. John chapter 1, title, the subject is the Son of God. After studying this word and our Lord, I'm like Job when Job said, "I've heard of you. Now I see you," something of your glory. The disciples said, "We beheld his glory." And I say with Job, I will utter things I understand not, things too wonderful for me. Son of God. Now, I want you with me to see the fact of it, that he is indeed God manifest in the flesh, and then I hope we'll see something of the wonder of it, the amazement of it, and then the comfort and the glory and the salvation of it. John didn't know him, although he was with the Spirit from his mother's womb, and when Christ came in the belly of Mary, remember, Mary came. Christ wasn't in her conceived yet. Yes, he was. But John was about 9 months before him. But when they met, Elizabeth and Mary, remember, John leaped in his mother's womb when Mary came. So he was the forerunner of Christ. In chapter 1, John had been preaching Christ, and then Christ came walking. And he said in verse 31, "I knew him not, but I bear record. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Meaning that Christ was a man, and he had no form or comeliness, nothing to distinguish him from other men at the time. But the one who distinguished him was the Spirit of God. And everyone, no one sees any beauty in Christ. No one knows him as the Son of God unless the Spirit of God revealed him that, right? So John was the same. And then he knew that this is the one. And then he began to preach it. "This is the Lamb of God." He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And then down in verse 34, he said, "I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And then John keeps talking about the Son until they cut his head off. Keeps talking about the Son. So let's consider this. First of all, the fact of it. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It began this way in chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." What other scripture do we need? What further proof do we need from God's Word that Jesus of Nazareth is God manifested in the flesh? And many people don't believe that. As you know, Jeanette knows, they pervert this by saying he was a God. I wonder if it's capital G. It's only one capital G. It can't be a God because there's one. I wonder if their Bible reads that way. But this is beyond shadow of a doubt, it, without controversy. He is God, Son of God. Verse 14 says the Word was made flesh. This is why it's called the Son of God. Okay? The only reason, this is the reason he's called the Son of God. Not that he's less than God. Not, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Right? And he let his disciples call him God. God called him God. In Hebrews 1, in verse 8. "Under the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever." What further proof do we need? The fact of it. All right? Down in verse 34 of this chapter, he said, I saw and bear record that this is the, like the Lamb, the Son of God. Some people are confused. You know, what I thought we were sons of God. He says he's the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Well, I thought we were begotten of God. Are you confused? Surely not. This means he's the only bodily manifestation or image of God. God is spirit. You remember when God said in the garden, in the beginning, like John 1, in the beginning, the Word, God, the Father, and the Word, the Spirit. God said, let us, chapter 2, make man in our own image. Okay? So Christ, the Son, the second person in the Trinity, had an image. He's the eternal Son. When did he take that image? Let me ask you this. We're talking about things too marvelous, too wonderful. God is Spirit, the Father, right? The Holy Spirit's Spirit. What's the difference of the two of them? Somebody want to tell me? No, I don't know either. It's a mystery, isn't it? Well, Christ took a body at some point, didn't he? He's the first begotten, the firstborn of every creature. He said, a body hast thou prepared me. When did he take that body? Well, when he came to earth, but he assumed he came down in the flesh many times, didn't he? So at some point, before anything was, the Son was, Son of God. This is what John says in his, and I didn't even mean to deal with this, but John said in 1 John 4, he that believeth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now, if you come somewhere, it means you were somewhere before you got there. It means he existed before he came. And he came. He became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what it says. The Word was made flesh. But the Word, the Son, second person, what always was, has no beginning or no and no end. No Father. Explain that. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek who has no father or mother. Nobody actually gave him life. He hath life in himself. That's what John keeps on saying. Would you want to explain that for him? We can't. You see, we believe a God that you can't explain. We must have a God that's far beyond our understanding. But we do understand him. John wrote, we know the Son of God has come. God was manifest in the flesh and given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Because no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son. He to whom the Son will reveal him, the Father will reveal him. And vice versa. All right. So the fact of it, look at verse 49. Verse 49, Nathanael, when he found out that Jesus of Nazareth knew who he was before he even met him, he said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. I can't help but think the Lord smiled and said, you believe because I saw you under the fig tree? You just wait. You just wait and what all you're going to hear and see out of me. And then chapter 5, I want you to turn over there. Chapter 5. I won't have you turn to too many scriptures. I know it's difficult. But chapter 5, this whole chapter, Christ keeps talking about himself as the Son. The Son. Chapter 5, verse 18, the Jews sought to kill him because he said God was his Father. It made him equal with God. You see, my dad, Henry Mahan, you knew him. He was a man. Well, I am too. Right? Am I less a man than he was? Equal. All right. He birthed me, but the Father You understand? Christ existed before. He never had a, there never was a time he didn't exist. So they said, you make yourself equal with God. And another time they said, you're just a man. You make yourself God. You see, judgment's backward in it. He was God, and he made himself a man. And man can't conceive that. He can't be God. He's just a man. Well, yes, he is. We read that. He made all things. Look, keep reading. Verse 19, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, and what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The Father loveth the Son, showeth him all things that he himself doeth. He will show him greater marks than works than these. As the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Father judgeth no man, but committed all judgment unto the Son. All men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Call him God, because he is. See, that's what we're saying. We believe Jesus Christ is God. Why? Because he is. I believe that's Karen Anderson. You know why? Because she is. And the Word says it. And he's revealed himself to us. Oh my. 1 Timothy 3. This is, this needs to be a memory verse if it hadn't already. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. People know John 3:16. Well, you need to know 1 Timothy 3:16. By heart. Without controversy. Although it is a controversy among people in the world. Not with us, is it? No controversy. Hard to understand, but we believe. It's a mystery. A mystery of godliness. That is, God being a man. God was manifest in the flesh. How clear can you get that? It doesn't even say the Son of God. It says God. All right? How do we know? He was justified in the Spirit. Holy Spirit came down on him, said, John, this is he. Spirit of God comes in our midst, takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us too. Seen of angels. Angels, actual angels, and then worshiped of angels. Didn't that say in Hebrews, let all the angels of God worship him? You're not supposed to worship anybody but God, are you? Well, God said, let them worship the Son like they worship me, because he's equal. So he's the one that God sent to deal with man. Because God can't be seen, never has been seen, but we have seen God. And we will see God. The Son of God. Read on. He's preached unto the Gentiles. To us. Believed on. Now here's the marvel of it. That's a fact of it. Here's the marvel of it. I believe. He asked the disciples one time, who do men say that I am? And they said all sorts of things. And if you'd ask people today, who do you think Jesus is? And they'd give you all sorts of answers. You ask his people, every one of them will say with Simon Peter, we believe and are sure. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. Like Thomas, you're my Lord and my God. In whom I live and me of them have my being. Yes, we do. Only begotten. Isaiah, this is the fact of it. Isaiah 7 says this, verse 14. A virgin, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, call his name Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Right? Isaiah 9 or 6 says this. A child is born, but the Son is given. He always existed. Call his name Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. You remember in John's Gospel? Philip says, show us the Father. He said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. That's the fact of it. It's beyond controversy. Let the pot church drive. Oh man, He is God. That's the fact of it. We believe because He is. We believe because Scripture says so. God says so. Spirit says so. We believe because no man could say and do what He did and what He does but God. No, creates. While He was here on earth, He created. We're going to look in the next chapter when He turned the water to wine. Yes, His first miracle. And the only ones that saw that were the servants and His disciples. And it says the disciples, they saw this and believed on Him. Nobody else saw it. Where did He get this good wine? He made it. I like that. Only a creator can do that, isn't it? The way He controlled everything while here. The winds and the waves obey His. He controlled the elements. That's what the disciples said. He kept proving Himself to them, didn't He? Who He was. Out on that boat. Walked out on the bow of that ship. Storm raging. He said, "Peace, be still. Wind, stop. Waves, settle down." Like we'd call a dog. Sit. Lie down. Hush. And the disciples, "What manner of man is this?" It's not just a man. We believe He controlled the winds, the waves, the elements, the creatures. Creatures. He commanded fish to get in the net. He commanded an ass to ride Him into town. It had never been ridden. Couldn't be ridden. He rode it. And on it goes. That dove landed on His shoulder. I love thinking about Him being out there when He was tempted of Satan. He was in the wilderness a long time, 40 days. And it says He's with the wild beasts. You remember that? They weren't wild when they were around Him. They were all, He was with them. You can't dwell with wild beasts. He did. I believe they all came to it. It's a picture of us, isn't it? The lion laying down with a bullet and the wolf with a lamb. That's us. Christ comes. He, like in the ark. One time they all got along. When He said so, like Noah. He commanded the creatures. He commanded the hearts and the minds of people. Men. He commanded their hearts and minds. The king's hearts in the hands of the Lord. He turned it with us wherever we will. He could change people who were like Matthew, whose money was his life. He could make him drop it right now. Right now. Drop that, all that money he'd ever made. Just dropped, didn't ever look back. Simon and Andrew and James and John missed fishing and the boats and their dad and their business was their life. They didn't have life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. They didn't have life, but that was their life, they thought. And when the Son of God came by, just with a word, follow me. They dropped their boat, their nets. Aren't you going to sell that boat? You get a pretty penny out. What boat? Oh, that boat. I don't need that boat. Have Him. Who could do that but God? Huh? Control the devils. Devils, they came down and had to ask Him what they could do. Remember? Said, "We know who you are, Jesus, the Son of God. Are you come to torment us for its time? Please, let us go into those pigs." Get. Commanded the devils. He told God what He willed. He said, "Father, I will." Now, when Satan said that, God cast him down. When Adam said that, God cast him down. When Jesus Christ said, "I will," God said, "Okay." This is God, He said. Son of God. He's the only one that lived a sinless life. Romans 1 says He's declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness and the resurrection from the dead. Spirit of holiness. Only holy, truly, in and of Himself, holy man who ever lived without sin. No sin. Think of this. Only God can be without sin. He never thought sin. He never lusted. Never thought an evil thought. Never spoke an evil word. Psalm 24 says, "Who shall ascend to the holy hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands." Never did anything sin or wrong with his hand. Everything he did was right, righteous. Every path, his feet walked in paths of righteousness. His words, his heart was, his heart was pure. His mind was pure. His thoughts were pure. Think about that. We can't even think about that. We can't fathom that, can we? Who could be like that but God? This is God. And the resurrection from the dead. He said, "I have power to lay down my life." We don't lay down our lives. God takes it. God kills us. He takes our life. Christ said, "I lay down my life." It says, "Please the Father to bruise it." It did. But Christ willingly bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I love that thought, don't you? Don't you love that scene where he's hanging on that cross? And he said, "It's finished." And like a man who's done it all, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Killed himself. It's amazing. I always thought the angels surely gave a standing ovation as he bowed his head. The saints in heaven, they knew I was there. Who can do that but God? He said, "I have the power to lay it down and have this power to take it up again." Now, the resurrection from the dead, 3 days later, he took his body back, glorified body, walked out of that, spoke the tomb, the stone to roll away, and walked out of that tomb. And he walked on in glory. That's amazing. This is God. That's the fact of it. That's the wonder of it too. 1,000 other scriptures, 1,000 other, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of scriptures and reasons why we believe he's the Son of the Most High God. The wonder of it. And his name is called Wonderful. Isaiah 9, 6. Call his name Wonderful. First thing, call his name Wonderful because he's full of wonder. You know who it is, Sister Tammy. Every time I ask her, or after a message, she says, "That was wonderful." Every time. That's because it's speaking of Christ. That's his name. Full of wonder. We always wonder at him, don't we? We're always in amazement of him. If the Lord blesses us, we never cease to wonder and be amazed at our Lord. What mere man could you speak of for 30 or 40 years and not get tired of it? What could you tell about him? Our lives are short stories, aren't they? Sum it up in 5 minutes. And we don't hear it anymore. But we want to keep hearing about him whose name is Wonderful. The wonder of it. Facts don't save us, you see. Christ saves. Here it saves. And he takes the things of Christ and he reveals the Son in you. He that hath the Son hath life. It's more than just the knowledge. Hey, I believe he's the Son of God. Hold on. It's to know him. It's to come into contact with him. It's him to reveal himself not only to you. See, I grew up under the truth. And I believe this fact that he is the Son of God. I believe it in my head. I could argue these facts. I could argue these facts. My 7th grade teacher said, "You're either going to be a preacher or a lawyer." Well, she was right. I didn't want to be either one. But anyway, I could argue these facts. I was taught well. I had a good teacher as a boy. And I could argue these things. And did sometimes. But then I didn't believe in my heart. I didn't know him. He had not yet revealed himself in me. It's like Saul of Tarsus. And that's where this came from, Galatians 1. Saul of Tarsus knew Jesus of Nazareth. He'd heard about it. Heard about his miracles. He heard what all they said about it. He didn't like it. He thought, this is what I'm going to do with this Jesus of Nazareth. This man named Jesus, I'm going to put an end to this. And then the Lord Jesus came. And suddenly a light shone round about him. And this is when Paul said, I was apprehended like a fish in a net. You're not getting out. The Lord God came to him, who is light, who is life. He was born again right there. He saw Christ. Christ saw him, the light, and surrounded him, put him in the dust, humbled him, put him on his face before the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, who art thou? He said, I'm Jesus. Oh, my. I thought you were just a man. Nope. And then here's what Paul said. Paul, before that, said, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I will do. And when he met the Lord Jesus, he said, what wilt thou have me to do? What are you going to do with me, Lord? And he called him that from then on, didn't he? And so did we. So he met him. Salvation is a confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for him to come to you in the gospel. You know this. You've experienced it. For him to come to you in the gospel and open your blind eye. Wasn't there a time, John, when you heard the gospel and it was like your eyes were open. Your ears were open. You'd heard about Jesus. You heard about God. You believed in a God. You believed in a Jesus. But then you met Christ. Really? Really? And Paul said this, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. In me. Like Peter, like Thomas, like my Lord, my God. All the disciples heard his voice. They saw his glory. They beheld his glory as of the only begotten, the only image of God the Father. His word, here's the wonder of it. And this is how he reveals himself, through his word. It's the word of his power. It's the word of his power. And his word has power over men. Yes, it does. Now, these are just words on paper, aren't they? Printed paper. But if God, and he uses preacher, this is amazing. It's amazing. And I won't deal more with it Sunday. God calls men through preaching. But there came a time when you read it and all of a sudden one day, God was speaking to you. Remember? The Lord was speaking to you. It was the voice of the Lord. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Well, not one of them have ever heard an audible voice except the apostles. Right? None of us have heard an audible voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we've heard his voice. Right? Yes, we have. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Every one of them. To the preaching of the gospel. Truly. And I don't know how many times many of you, if not most, have said to me after a message at some point, you've said, you were speaking right to me this morning. It's like you were listening to our conversation last night. No, it's not me at all. It's the word of God. It's the eyes of the Lord. And seven eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth. Omniscience, omnipotence, omnipotence of our Lord. All powers. His powerful word. The power of his word. His gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Oh my, the word of his power. Create a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. You begin to love what you once hated and hate what you once loved. How? And it ceases to become the Bible and it becomes words of life. Right? That's what Simon Peter said. These are words of life. We hang on your word. We must have it. It becomes like bread and meat and milk and water. Gotta have it. And Christ is all of that. And they beheld, and we beheld his person, his majesty, his holiness, his dignity, his grace, his love, his mercy, his strength. Oh, man. That's the wonder of it, and part of it. You know, David said this in the psalm. He said, "When I consider man, I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Why would he even create him? Why would he create man? What's he need with man? He said, "Well, let's make man in our own." And he made man for his glory, the glory of his Son. And someday, there are going to be innumerable people by men, innumerable, singing the praise of the Son. That's going to be, can't rightly speak on that after 30 minutes silence. But what is man that you would visit him? Here's the wonder of it. He would come down here and visit us. My. Now go with me back to 1 John and I'm going to close. This is the comfort, the peace, the assurance, salvation, and knowing and believing that God the Son came. We read it. We know the Son of God has come. And it says that we believe that Jesus Christ is born of, that everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I believe. Do you? Like Peter said, we believe and are sure. We're just certain of the Christ. That's the Messiah. 1 John 5. We believe he's the Christ, Son of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat. Do you love God? Now, I know you're ashamed of your love of God. But do you not love God as God? I mean the God of the Bible. The God who reveals himself in Scripture. Holy, just, righteous God, sovereign, saving whom he will. God of sovereign election, predestination, reprobation. God who kills, God is God. Do you love that God? That's amazing. You're born of God. There's only one way you can love that God, is that he loved you and gave you an understanding to know him. And you love his people. You love his people. You love doing this. A dear sister wrote me a text and said she'd never been happier in her life than she is now, hearing the word of God preached and worshiping with God's people, beholding the Lamb. Never been happier in her life. I believe that person has life. Oh my. By this we know we love the children of God and we love God. And vice versa. This is the love of God. We keep his commandments. What commandment? Do you not want to keep and desire to keep and endeavor to keep whatever he tells you to keep? Huh? Yes, you do. Of course you do. Of course we're disobedient at times, but oh my. He's made us willing and obedient children to follow him and keep his command. And they're not grievous. He's not telling us to climb Mount Sinai. Oh, no. Just follow him and do what he said. Do what he said. Well, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it to glory? What's your hope? If you make it to glory, how are you going to make it? Just tell me. Give me one reason. Christ? Really? Is that what you believe? You're born of God. Everyone that believes in that has this hope in him and is will overcome the world. This is what overcomes the world. What? Knowing him, believing him, that he overcame the world. And he overcame you. Has and doth and shall overcome everything concerning you and keep you and take you to glory. He's the Son of God with power. He's going to be able to take us all the way to glory. The only one that can. The only one that can. He will. He's promised to. And it goes on to say in closing in chapter 5, verse 20, and I love this. We know the Son of God has come. He has come. And He's given us an understanding. I do understand something of who He is and what He's done, and where He is now, and why He did it. And I do understand. He's given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we're in Him that is true. I have a little bit of understanding what it means to be in Christ. I keep bringing up the ark because that's a good illustration. And I want to be found in Him, don't you? In that day, covered by Him, in Him, pitched. Well, we are. We understand that. We understand that. And we're in Him, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is, right, we get back to the fact of it, the wonder of it, and the glory of it, and the assurance of it, and the peace of it, the salvation of it. This one that we believe in, He's the true God and eternal life. He is. Yes, He is. Isn't that what He said? This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He sent. Well, who's God? The Father or the Son? Yes. That's right. We believe. Very God of very God. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. How do you do that? Keep looking to Christ. You see Him, everything else, like old Ephraim said, what about doing more with idols? I've seen Him. That's how you keep yourself from idols. Keep looking to Him. Amen. You're dismissed.